Page 234, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Yud.
But the Wednesday and Thursday mornings are...
We'll see. Meanwhile, this Wednesday night there's a class, and Thursday morning there's a class. Then we'll see.
We can enjoy this for a
minute. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're in the middle of the debate, or the argument, between Yosef and the brothers. The brothers come down to Mitzrayim. Yosef is waiting for them, so to speak. He says to them, you guys are a bunch of spies. And like we learned, because they came in 10 gates to look for Yosef, and Yosef made sure that he found out everything that the brothers were doing. So the bottom line was, Yosef reminded himself of the dreams, and he wanted to start up with the brothers. So in Pasuk Tes, we didn't finish Tes, that's the truth. Well, in the middle of Tes, Yosef says to the brothers, you're spies. Okay? Yeah. Yosef says to the brothers, no, you're not. You didn't come here to buy food, you're spies. So the Kliyoke brings an interesting concept. So why did Yosef think about spies? You know, if he wanted to lock them up, he could have said, you're thieves. He could have done something to them. Where did he get the idea to tell them you're spies? So Kriyoka explains, huh?
Last week, 10 different locations.
You know, yeah, right. But I'm saying, but why did he use this threat of them that you're spies? He could have said, you're thieves, you're whatever. Kriyoka said, yes, it was very, he wanted the brothers shouldn't find out who he is. Right? That's the detail over here. Now, the brothers are coming down to Egypt. They know, why did the brothers go through 10 gates? Because the brothers knew that Yosef was sold as a slave to caravans going down to Egypt. That's what it says. They were on the way towards Egypt. So the brothers had a suspicion that Yosef was in Egypt. So the brothers would, if the brothers were just left alone in Egypt, what would the brothers start doing? They would start asking people, do you know anybody that was ever sold there as a slave, a caravan of the people brought him down? The brothers would start investigating.
Why?
They came down to look for him.
Or they came down to get bread?
No, they came down now to get to look. That's why they came in 10 different gates. Their mamash were going to look for him. Right? That's what the Medrash said. They came down 10 gates. So Yosef wanted to make sure the brothers are not going to ask any questions. So what did he do?
They knew he's alive?
They hoped. They thought. And they had a strong possibility that he might be in Egypt. Okay? So what would the brothers do? And the brothers are very smart, obviously, they're good investigators. They would start their Jewish Bureau of Investigation, and they would start asking questions. And people might come to them, yeah, there was a guy sold here to slave to Potiphar, and he ended up in Egypt, and now he's the viceroy of Egypt. So Yosef wanted to make sure the brothers are not going to ask any questions. So what did Yosef do? He said to them, you're spies. Once they're suspected spies, and they start asking any questions, people are going to say, oh, you see, you're attacking spies. So Pasha did it out of all the crimes that he wanted the brothers to be guilty of, or to be suspected of, was this concept that he shouldn't be, they should be spies, because then he knew they couldn't ask questions. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he says to them, Miraglimatim, why are you Miraglim? He says, they started mingling with the crowds, they stayed together, they came nicely dressed. I mean, a whole bunch of reasons why the Mefarshim say that why Yosef said they're spies. And he says, in Pasuk Yud, Vayemru Elav, we didn't finish Tes, but anyway. And when he says to them, you came to see the nakedness of the land, Edvas Ha'aretz literally means, you've come to see the nakedness of the land. What does it mean, nakedness of the land? When spies come, they want to see which places are open. Nakedness means it's uncovered. They wanted to see which parts of the land are uncovered that would be easier to conquer. So therefore he said, you came, that's why he uses the expression, the Edvas Ha'aretz, the nakedness of the land, because the exposed part of the land, the part of the land that is going to be open to easy to conquer. Either the breaches in the wall, you didn't come to buy, because if you came to buy, what are you coming down in 10 people for in a group? Just go individually and go buy. You don't have to stay in line so much and so on. Okay. V'yemro elav, so they said to him, no. Lo yadeini, don't say this. They didn't say, no, my master. They said, don't say it. Lo means don't say it, Rashi says. Why? Because v'avadecha bo'o lishbarechu. Your servants came to buy food. Don't suspect us of spying, because the real reason we came down is that they should buy food. And they continued. Kulanu, all of us. And Rashi says they prophesied and they didn't know what they prophesied. When they said Kulanu, it includes Yosef also. When they said all of us, well, simply the brothers meant all 10 of us. But they did say all of us, it means all of us including you. B'nei ish echod nachnu, we are the men of, or the son of one person. Now, the question is, why did they say nachnu instead of anachnu? The word is really anachnu, we. Nachnu, you have this many times in Chumash, v'nachnu ma, but the word is v'anachnu. Why did they say nachnu? So they bring down a number of reasons. Number one, the Baal HaTurim says, because one brother was missing, Binyamin. So they left out the Aleph, one. Nachnu, without the Aleph, means we're only 10, but there's an 11th brother home that didn't come. I'm saying, many times the Torah cuts, you know, makes it short. But every time, obviously, sometimes it says a Nachnu, sometimes Nachnu. I understand, so that means something else. I know. But over here they're hinting to the fact that there's one missing. Another, and they also said we're the son of one man. Yeah? How does that answer that they're not spies? He says you're spies. He said, no, we're the children of one man. And therefore you can't be spies. I mean, it doesn't work like that. Like you learn to pick your office in Shabbos. A chacham and a goylem. A chacham answers to the point. A goylem doesn't. Yosef says to him, you're a spy. And all of a sudden they say, we're one father. So the Mephoshim explained, no. They answered Yosef's complaints one by one. Okay? Yosef said to them, why did you come down in 10 different gates rather than one gate? So they said, I'll tell you why. Because we're the children of one father, and our father told us not to do it. To go through separate gates. So there shouldn't be Ayin Hara. Then you said to us, why do we always stay together? So you must be spies. They said, what do you mean? The reason we stay together, because we're brothers. Then he says, why do we all come in person? Rather than one of us to being sent? Because our father didn't want us to be separated. Father always wanted us to be together. And he says, 10 men, and the Daskin Malatesa says, 10, how can you suspect all of us of being spies? 10 men cannot be found in one family. Why? Because one father is not willing to risk all 10 kids if they're caught as spies. Everybody knows if you're caught as spies, you get killed, right? So they said, if we're all the children of one man, do you think our father is going to let us all be spies? And a risk that he should lose all his kids. You know, you lose one or two here, who cares? But to lose all 10 kids, he's not gonna want. And they said, Kenim anachnu, we are honest people. And if you don't believe us, you can prove that Ramban says, Kenim anachnu, which means we are honest, we are truthful people, and you can even prove it. You can ask that we're children. Everybody knows who we are. Lohoyu avadecha meraglim, your servants have never been spies. There's no ground for suspicion, and we have nothing to hide. We never did anything wrong. Vayemir aleim, so Yosef said to them, Loi, it's not true. Ki erves ha'ariz basim lish. You did come to see the nakedness of the land. You did come to see that, to spy. One second. Okay. Vayemir aleim, so Yosef said to them, Loi, it's not true. It cannot be as you say, because you still should have entered the country together, and therefore the fact that you entered Yosef's arguing their point. They answered that we didn't come to see the nakedness of the land. He said, yes, you did, because otherwise you wouldn't have come through 10 different gates. Okay, now he says in more so. Yosef said to them, Yosef said as follows. And again, everything Yosef is doing over here is to figure out, number one, if Yaakov's alive and if Binyamin's alive. Okay? So, first of all, Yosef forced the brothers to say, we are the children of one man. So obviously he knew Yaakov was alive. Now he wanted to know...
Maybe the children of one man and he has already died.
No, because they said we're the children of one person, which implied that he was alive. Then, Yosef wanted to know if Binyamin was alive. What was Yosef afraid? Because Yosef was afraid if the brothers hated Yosef, maybe they would hate Binyamin too. Because Binyamin was also given special treatment by Yaakov now for sure. So Yosef wanted to know if the brothers killed Binyamin. So Yosef says to the brothers, I don't understand you. I'm going to prove to you that you're spies. Because if it's true, how come nobody stayed home to take care of your father? If you're so worried about your father, how come nobody stayed home to take care of your father? So what would the brothers have to answer? The brothers are going to have to answer, no, Binyamin's home. So at least they would know, Yosef would know at least the Binyamin was alive. And he did all this, so to speak, with wisdom, with chochmah, to get it out of them.
Especially they will ask
where other brothers. No. And as the Mefarshim say, even though the Torah doesn't say the discussion, but by Yosef's statements and their answers, the Torah implies clearly you can understand what they said.
How come Torah talks very little about Binyamin? With Yosef or Yehuda, he talks about from Binyamin, that doesn't talk much.
There's probably nothing too much to talk about him. Binyamin was very great. Binyamin was so great that, like we said last time, it was only the four people, one of the four people that only died because Hashem decreed death in the world.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Huh?
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, Binyamin died.
Yeah.
Eventually, when he died,
yeah.
Only because death was decreed in the world. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died. He was such a great person.
So he never sinned in his life?
Correct. Or not enough of a sin to die for him. Now, another, the Sepurna learns over here differently. That what did Yosef tell the brothers? Yosef said to the brothers, it's not true that you're brothers. You're lying. You're not even brothers. You're not even brothers, Bechlau. And what did they say? They said like this. Shnei Masar Vayemnon, they said. Pasi Yud Gimel. Shnei Masar Avadecha Achim Anachno. We're 12 servants, brothers. It's not enough that you charge us that we lie. We are true. We are brothers. We have one. And I'll explain to you. He said, the brothers are saying why we did what we did. B'nei Yisha Echad Be'et Kanan. We are the one, children of one man in the land of Canaan. Now, why did they say the land of Canaan? Who cares where he comes from? Why should Yosef care that he came from the land of Canaan? So the Mefarshim explain, Canaan at that time was very peaceful with Egypt. They're on good terms. They're neighboring countries. Canaan and Mitzrayim were neighbors, and they were on good terms. So Yosef is saying, the brothers are saying to Yosef, there's no need to spy. People from Canaan know everything that's going on in Egypt. We're neighbors. They're on good terms. So that's why they're explaining every statement that they said. We are one, the children of one brother in the land of, a father of one in the land of Canaan. And they said, Hine akote in asavino hayem, the younger brother is with our father today, which answers the question that Yosef said to him, how come nobody's home with the father? So you see, like again, the Mefarshim say, from the brothers' dialogue, you understand the questions that were asked, that they're answering, even though the Torah doesn't say what the questions were. And the Torah, because of the exactness of Torah, there's no need for the Torah to elaborate on things that are self-understood. Yeah. So he said, there's one brother who's the youngest, Esavina Yain, which are there, the Echad Einenu, one of them is gone, and we don't know what happened with him. And the Rashi said, they even told Yosef, we came to look for him. And now the brothers, the Medrash says, started telling the truth. They said to him, we came down, and the Medrash goes through a whole dialogue over here that the Torah doesn't say. What happened? It says as follows. Yosef says to the brothers, if you found your missing brother, if you found him, and a large ransom was asked for him, would you pay it? They said yes. So Yosef says to them, what would be if they would not release him for any money? So he said, we would come and kill or be killed. So the brothers told Yosef, we're willing to kill or be killed. So Yosef said, oh, that's what I'm telling you. You're spies. You came to spy out. Now, Yosef said to the brothers, according to another medrash, another dialogue, Yosef said to the brothers, I understand you. Why did you have to leave home a younger brother to take care of the father? Couldn't the wives and the kids take care of the old men? They do a better job anyway, probably. Why didn't you take Binyamin? And so he says, Yosef said to the brothers, I know why he didn't send it. Because you're liars, and he sent you on a dangerous mission, and he's afraid to send the youngest one. Because otherwise, let him send the younger ones, and talking about taking care of the old man, they'll have the wife and the kids. And then another Mepharish says that Yosef said to the brothers, you're liars. All of a sudden you talk about another brother. You never mentioned the younger brother before. All of a sudden you mention him. So your whole story is Baba Mises, fabricated. Okay, and the Malbim says even more. If there's 11 boys, you think the father would send out 10 and leave only one to take care of the house? You would at least 5 and 5 or something. He wouldn't demand everything. But Yemer Aleim, Yosef says to them, you know something? Hu asher dibarti aleichem, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Miraglim atem, you're spies. It's exactly what I'm telling you, you're spies. Because if you come to kill or be killed, that proves you're spies. And he says, Bezeisti bachenu, this is how I'm going to test you. Yosef says to his brother, you know what? I'm going to test you to see if you're real or not. What am I going to do? He says, Chei pare, I swear by pare. He swear on the king's life. Okay? Now there's an argument amongst the Mepharshim. What type of oath is this? Later on he says, Esolekim ani yore, I fear God. So why doesn't he swear by God? Why does he swear by pare? So some Mepharshim learn, whenever Yosef wanted to swear falsely, he said Pari's name. When he wanted to swear real, he wanted Hashem. So Yosef over here was going to make an oath that he wasn't going to keep. Because he was going to lock up all the brothers and send one home, and he changed it. Anyway, but Rabbeinu Bachaya says, no, Yosef didn't swear falsely anyway, because he didn't release all of them. He kept one of them anyway, as we'll soon learn. Okay, but anyway,
could swear falsely if he wanted to, right?
Yosef never meant it as a shvur, and to use God's name in an oath he didn't want to.
I say, I swear to President Bush, or I swear to Shah Iraq. It's falsely if I wanted to.
You'll end up where they all ended up.
But halachically, would I be held responsible?
You shouldn't do it. You are responsible because you meant it as a shvur. But Yosef never meant it. And by vows and oath, it goes a lot by what you mean.
But in the sense that it's sure, it's only on one thing. I mean, you can tell if it's a mistake.
No.
If it's a sure, it's only for this. Not for the how many you will keep.
No, he said he's going to lock them all up. That was part of the shvur. Okay, let the zayis tibachin. This is the way I'll test you. Chei pare, I swear by pare, if you will leave here, the only way I'm going to let you guys out of here is if you bring down Binyamin. I mean, you didn't call him by name, you call him Binyamin. I mean, the small brother. And he said, Shilchu mikem echad, send one of you. That means like this, I'm going to lock you all up, all 10 of you. I'm going to let one of you go home. I'm going to let one of you go home. And you'll take your brother. Okay? Ve'ata me'asra, and you will lock up. Ve'yibachnu devreichem, and you will test your words. Ha'emes itchem, if you're true or not. That means if you bring down Binyamin, that means your story is true. If you don't bring down Binyamin, your story is fabricated, it's not true. The problem was, the Mefarshim explained, the Medrash says, the brothers couldn't agree on anybody. The brothers couldn't agree who to send home. Why? Nobody wanted to go. Do you know what it is to come home to Yaakov without any of the brothers? Which guy would want to take the risk of Yaakov's anger that none of the brothers are coming home? So they didn't pick anybody. They didn't want to have the grief. Now, when Yosef heard this, as we'll soon see, that they were bothered by it, so Yosef said, you know what, okay, I'll let you all go home, but I'll keep one. This caused Yosef to change his mind. Now, Yosef thought that Reuven would go. Okay? Well, we'll soon see about Shimon and Levi. But Yosef thought the brothers would pick Reuven. Why? Number one, he's the oldest. Number two, he was the only one that wasn't involved in the selling. Right? Shimon and Levi were involved in the selling to kill him even. Yehuda was involved in the... So he thought that at least Reuven was the least responsible, so therefore he should be freed. So Yosef was hoping that the brothers are going to pick one. Logically, who would they pick? The oldest brother should go home and tell Yaakov, right? And Yosef thought that's okay because Reuven was not involved in the sale, so he should be freed. L'peil, they didn't do it. The Malbim learns a whole different story. The Malbim learns is completely different. He doesn't learn that it means one of the brothers should go home. Why? If the brothers go home and bring down Binyamin, they're going to coach Binyamin along the way what to say. And they'll never get a clear story. So Yosef said to the brothers, Shulchu mikem echot, send a stranger home. Just send somebody home and bring Binyamin.
They come with somebody.
They find a stranger. For money you can get anybody. Got a stranger, take the guy, let him go, bring Binyamin, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to coach him on. So he says, Shulchan Mikem, send a stranger. Vimlayan, if not, Chepare, I swear by Pare, Kimeraglam Atam, that you're spies. Now, Yosef obviously not going to swear that they're spies because he knows they're not spies. That's why, again, he's using Pare as a source of the oath rather than Hashem's name. Vayasev Esam al Mishma Shleshis Yamin. He put him into prison for 3 days. Now, why did he put him into prison for 3 days? So the Mefarshim say a number of things. The brothers did three sins. Number one, they removed his expensive coat. They threw him into the pit and they sold him. So the brothers did three avedas. So because he did three sins, Yosef kept him in prison 3 days. That's what the Baal HaTorim says. According to the Zohar, it has to do with the city of Shechem. Because on the third day, after they circumcised the whole Shechem, they went and killed out the whole city. So because 3 days they let Shechem suffer over there before they killed him out, so he kept 3 days. Why? Because this was an Aveda, so to speak, that the brothers did.
Not all brothers did it, only Shimon.
But they all agreed to it. They all agreed to it. No, if they agreed to it, they're all guilty. They're accomplices. And Bechlau, they bring down from the Medrash that there's a lot of things of three. Third day of Matan Torah, and Hashem Bechlau doesn't let Tzaddikim suffer for more than 3 days. So Yosef locks him up in prison for 3 days. So Yosef said to him, to the brothers on the third day, this is what you should do and you will live. I fear God. And here when he's speaking truth, he's not using the word God anymore.
Why he's afraid of Elohim?
Huh?
Why he's afraid of Elohim?
Because he was a religious Jew.
Not because he's keeping them in the prison.
No, he's saying, I fear God, therefore I'm going to let you go out. There's a story with the Rebbe. There was once, I mentioned the story here. There was once an encounter with Chabad, when college students used to come. It was usually around Hanukkah time, because the colleges were from December 25th through New Year's. So they have always had, for many years, they had a weekend with Chabad. It was called Encounter with Chabad. What's wrong? You called? They called an Encounter with Chabad. And in the program, always the Rebbe would Fabreng, one, anyway, Shabbos Chanukah, the Rebbe would Fabreng. That year, the Rebbe said he's not Fabreng. When they put in the program that there is one Thursday of Fabreng, the Rebbe said he's not Fabreng that week. So a lot of people that normally would walk in from Borough Park and from the area, various areas, didn't come. The Rebbe said he's not Fabreng, there's nothing to come for. And the Rebbe Fabrenged. The Rebbe Fabrenged anyway. And the Shabbos Parshas Miketz. The Shabbos. So the Rebbe started the Fabrengen with the following concept. The Rebbe said, L'cha'era, I said there was not going to be a Fabrengen. How could I change and have a Fabrengen? So the Rebbe answered, the answer to the question is a proof from this week's Parsha, which for them was Shabbos Miketz. Yosef said to the brothers, I swear I'm going to lock you all up and only one will go home to bring the brother. 3 days later, Yosef changed his mind and said, no, I'm going to be a nice guy. You'll all go home and I'll keep one. L'cheira, how was Yosef able to change if he swore? The answer is, change for the good, you're allowed to. You see from here, the change for the good, you're allowed to. So the Rebbe said, even though I said there's no Fabrengen, but change for the good, you're allowed to, so therefore I Fabreng. But it's a proof.
To teach this conception.
Not conception,
concept.
Everything that the Rebbe teaches is teaching. But this is a concept. That you're allowed to change for the good, you can't change for the bad. That's all. But if you say you're not going to do something and you end up doing it, that you're allowed to do. For somebody says, I'm not going to give $100,000, I'm only going to give $5,000. And you want to change your mind, it's acceptable. Nobody has a problem with it. Okay. Bechlal, Yosef is going to... Okay, we'll see. He says, Zaysa Suvichyu, this is what you should do and you will live. Asalikimani Yare, I fear God.
Sorry, Rabbi, don't you have to nullify your oath and you swear to Hashem?
Not if it's for the good. Because Hashem wants you to do the good.
Don't you have to nullify the oath?
But that's why Yosef didn't have to nullify it. Number one, because he swore in Paro's name. So he never intended to make the vow
for
to be
too, for that.
Right. Okay, now, the Mefarshim explained that Barbanel says Yosef didn't want to delay anymore because if he would delay anymore, Yaakov Avinu would be in grief. Where are the boys? See, more than 3 days, he didn't want them to suffer because of Yaakov Avinu. And he said, Zeisach tzu v'chiu, this is what you should do and live. As Elokim ani yarei, I fear God. And therefore I will not keep you all imprisoned. I will allow all of you to go home except one. Okay? The Barbanel says, what is Yosef saying, I fear God? Yosef is adding something. And it's another interesting lesson. Yosef says, it's only a suspicion. I have no proof. I don't have proof that you're spies, right? It's only a suspicion. As a God-fearing man, you can't punish somebody on a suspicion. And this is Bechlal, a very important lesson. People suspect a lot of people of doing a lot of things, and based on that, they make moral judgments. When it's only a suspicion. And based on that, they make rulings and verdicts and the judgment on people and so on. Yaitzev is teaching us over here, I fear God, and therefore if it's only a suspicion, you can't judge somebody on a suspicion. You have to let him go. Now, Yaitzev says an interesting thing over here. The Mefarshim explain, Yaitzev says, what is he saying, now I fear God? There are many people that fear God when they're poor. Once they get rich, somehow the money warps their perception of godliness, and they changed. So he says, Yosef said God's name when he was broke, when he came to interpret Paro's dream, when he wasn't anybody yet but a slave in prison, he said, I fear God. And now, when he's the leader of Egypt, he says, I fear God. And therefore, the Medrash says, the Moshe Rabbeinu is a very interesting concept. When Moshe Rabbeinu had to go fight the nation of Amalek, who did he tell to pick people? He said to Yeshua, pick people. Chalonu Anashim, pick people that we should go fight against Amalek. So the Medrash says, why did he pick Yeshua? Because Yeshua came from Ephraim, who is a descendant of Yosef. And Yosef said, I fear God. Amalek was Yedeas Ribaynei Umachavan Limribay. Amalek rebelled against God. Amalek didn't have fear of God. So who should fight the non-fearing people? Yeshua is a descendant of Yosef, who was God-fearing. And then in all circumstances, he did it. There's a famous story. There was once a person, they say his name was Avram, whatever. He was a very hospitable person. He always had an open house with guests. He wasn't a very wealthy person. Just made a living, but his house was always open. He gave away a lot of tzedakah. He was an unbelievable guy. And one time his Rebbe, whoever the Rebbe was, came to visit him. And he saw his love of achnosas orchim, and he saw his hospitality and everything. And the Rebbe said, you know what? I'm going to give him a bracha, he should be rich. So his Rebbe gave him a bracha, he should be rich. And very soon, whatever he touched turned into gold, and he became an extremely, extremely wealthy man. Built himself up a palace with servants. But as it happens many times, like we just said, no more hospitality. He didn't want to let beggars into the house to get dirty the house. He threw them out. Sometimes he gave them a little gift, but whatever. It wasn't the same guy anymore. His Rebbe heard that this is what happened to him. And the Rebbe said, you know, it's really my fault, because I gave him the bracha. If I didn't give him the bracha, he didn't get rich. He would lead his old lifestyle of a charitable person, a nice, kind person. So the Rebbe said, I have to rectify the situation. So the Rebbe goes, knocks on his door, and of course the servant comes to the door and is about to throw him out, and he says, tell your master, it's me, the Rebbe says. Here's his Rebbe comes, oh, he's excited, he comes running out, says, Rebbe, come in, take a seat, take a cup of tea, we're so happy to see you. In the middle of his cup of tea, whatever he was drinking, the Rebbe walks over to the window, he's looking out the window. So the Avram follows the Rebbe to the window, and the Rebbe turns to him and he says, Avram, you know, what do you see out the window? He says, oh, I see Yankel the tailor running, oh, it's a big Rachmanis on him, he has to marry off kids. And this guy is who's with this other guy, and he sees a whole bunch of people. Then the Rebbe walks away, starts walking around the house, and he comes to a big mirror. And the Rebbe says to him, Avram, come here. What do you see when you look in the mirror? He said, I see myself. So the Rebbe says to him, I don't understand. This is glass, and this is glass. Why, when you look out this glass, do you see Yankel the tailor and this guy, Joe Schmo, whatever? And you look in the mirror, you only see yourself. They're both glass. They don't understand what's the difference. So he says, Rebbe, come on. The mirror has a silver coating on the back, and because it is silver coating, it reflects it, and you only see yourself. So the Rebbe says to him, oh, in other words, you're telling me that if the glass is coated with silver, you only see yourself? So maybe if you rub away a little bit of the silver, maybe you'll be able to see through so to somebody else. And the Rebbe started scraping off a little bit of the silver from the back of the mirror. And this Avram got the point. And he said, Rebbe, I realize the point. I'm very sorry. You're right. And he became a changed man. He said, don't take away the bracha. Don't take away the bracha from me. But I promise you I'll change. And he changed. He became a new person. There are people, like he's saying over here, the Medrash says, there are many people, they fear God. Nabach, they have no money, no this, no that. You know, they're broken Jews, you know. So they fear God. Guy has a lot of money, he starts thinking, it's my doing, and my brilliance, and my cheating, and my lying, and my swindling. And this is what does it, so they don't fear God anymore. Yosef says, as a poor person I feared God, and as the leader of Egypt, the leader of the world, I also fear God. And there's another story that they tell. There's once a poor man that became very wealthy, and once a year, he put on his old, tattered clothing, and he lived that day like a beggar. That day, one day a year, he lived like a beggar. And they asked him why. He said, I don't want this to go to my head, that I'm a wealthy man, that I should forget my begging days. So one day a year, I want to act like a beggar again, that I shouldn't go to my head. So Yosef is saying to the people, "Asoli kim ani yare," I fear God, and therefore it's going to be good. Another thing, the Zayir points out, that Yosef is saying, "I fear God." What did he want to bring out by this? And this is a remarkable lesson. The Zayir says, in fact, Alter Rebbe brings it down in Tanya, and that is, the Zayir says, Yosef said to the brothers, I will repay evil with kindness. I will repay evil with kindness. The brothers wanted to kill Yosef. The brothers wanted to throw him into the pit and sell him as a slave and do who knows what to them. Yosef says to the brothers, I want you to know, guys, I fear God. I mean, this is before he revealed himself, obviously, but he said to them, listen, guys, I fear God. I will not pay back evil with evil. I will pay back evil with good. I once heard a story. You want stories? I once heard a story. Many years ago, I heard a story that after the Warsaw Ghetto was destroyed, and people went back into the Warsaw Ghetto to pick up the pieces, so he found a letter. They say his name was Herschel Rakoff. And this guy wrote a letter to God. He wrote a letter to God, and the letter stated the following. Obviously, it wasn't in English, but basically the letter said, Dear God, you killed my father. This is in the Holocaust, right? You killed my father, you killed my mother, you killed my brothers, you killed my sisters, you killed my wife, you killed my kids. You did it all to me that I should hate you. Just to spite you, I'm going to love you anyway. Said the God, to spite you, you did this that I should hate you. To spite you, God, I'm going to love you anyway.
Who was the guy that said that?
His name was Herschel Rakoff. That's the way I heard the story. I heard the story like 32 years ago. But, 30 years ago. But, the story, I mean, he says to God, Afzalach is there. To spite you, I'm going to love you anyway. And the same thing, you pay back evil with good. As the expression goes in America, kill him with love. You know? Don't kill him with hate, you kill him more with love. And the truth of the matter is, when somebody does bad things to you, and you pay him back with kindness, it kills them. They can't take it. Because they're expecting that you should act bad to them. But the story is told, I heard this about my father, by his associate rabbi, then when my father was still alive. He said that a guy once came into my father's office, and he was very rude to my father. And yet my father answered him nicely, menschlich, you know, didn't get angry, he answered him like a mensch. So later this guy said to my father, he said, I don't understand. The guy talked to you so chutzpahdik and so rude. Why do you answer him back like a mensch? So he said to him, just because he's not a mensch doesn't give me a right not to be a mensch. Well, there's one thing after, he's not a mensch, so I shouldn't be a mensch either. So the story over here, Yosef is saying to the brothers, Eso likim ani yorei, I fear God, and therefore I'm going to pay back with good, not with bad. And that's what it says, the lashon of Elokim ani yorei. Okay. Now, in Kainim Atem, if you're real, Yosef says, okay, I will tell you to do something else. Oh, what did I say? I'm partially looking for something, that's why I'm seeing. Okay, if you're honest, if you're truthful people, Achich Mechad Yosef Beis Mishmarchem, let one brother stay here in imprisonment. And you should go and bring Shever Ravin Batechem food for the hunger to your household. Okay? So he says, one of you will be in the building where you were until now, and you're going to be in prison. Now, Yosef basically picked Shimon. Yosef said to the brothers, I saw in my goblet that you two killed out a whole city. You two, Shimon and Levi, killed out a whole city. So I'm going to separate you two. Okay, and Shimon was really the initial guy that got Yosef thrown into the pit.
It's a goblet.
The goblet, the cup. Yosef, officially he had this magical cup that he knew all about the brothers, who was the oldest, and he knew everything about them from his magic cup. I mean, that's what he gave the impression of. There's a deeper meaning they bring down over here. It's a very interesting concept, but from the Arachayim, there's an interesting halacha. If Goyim come to the city and say to them, give us one of your people that we should kill him, and if not, we'll kill out the whole city. So then in Torah, what do you do if the Goyim come to a city? And by the way, it happened. It's Yerushalmi, but it's brought down Shulchan Aruch. If a Gentile brigade confront a group of Jews and say to them, give us one of your group that we may kill him, or else we'll kill all of you. The din is, even if all of them will be killed, they cannot surrender a single Jew. But if the people say, if the Gentiles say, we want this guy, they don't say one of you, they say a specific person, that we should kill him and not kill everybody else, then the halacha is you have to give him that person. That's the halacha. Okay. Now, Yosef's intent one, if you're a truthful people, since you know whether you're innocent, you should not have any qualms about letting one without one of the brothers. Okay? We find later that Yosef picked Shimon because, or they chose him because to separate him from Levi. Okay? Other people say that the brothers also refused to have one stay. You know, they didn't pick, so Yosef just picked one. But Yosef said, this is what you got to do, because if you're truthful, you shouldn't have any problems. Why? Because if you're going to bring Binyamin, if you're going to bring back Binyamin, and Binyamin, so nobody's going to get killed, so what's the problem? He said, if you're honest, you shouldn't have a problem giving me one. Because I'm not going to kill him if you're honest. So Yosef is telling, if you're not going to give me somebody that shows you're guilty, because that's the halacha, you can't give up a Jew. But if you're innocent, then there's no problems, because you're going to come back with Binyamin and everybody's going to be free. That's what Yosef said to them. But you bring a lot of food that you bought, and the Ramban explains, why did Yosef say bring food? Who cares? I mean, what's the... Yosef understood that's the only way the brothers were going to agree. Otherwise, the brothers were going to say, we're going to be killed, right? Kill or get killed. What caused the brothers to want to go home? Because Esh Tzur said, listen, your people are starving at home. They don't have any food. So go home and bring the food. Okay?
Patriotism.
V'sachichem akotan taviyo elai, your younger brother, your youngest brother should bring to me. V'yomnu devrechem, and your words will become verified. Meaning, once you, Dalshich says, once you bring your youngest brother, that itself will automatically verify all the other statements that you made. This is the testing, so to speak, the testing thing. And you'll not die. Why? Because I could have put you to death even in Canaan if you don't come back. But anyway, at least you'll be able to buy food. V'yasu Cain, and the brothers agreed to it. And the only question is whether they agree, which is the various opinions, if they agreed that they should leave Shimon, or Yosef just picked them, but they did it. Okay. So when Yosef is talking to the brothers started looking back into themselves. Okay? And they said the following. Aval Hashemim Anachnu Alachinu. We're sinful on a brother. And who was the one that said it? When it says Ish El Achiv, who's the man to his brother? No, Shimon said it to Levi. Because just like Shimon was the one that said before the dreamer is coming, the same expression, Ish El Achiv, so Shimon was the older one and he spoke. Now, another thing.
Why here in this place they decided this is they did something wrong?
Okay, so the Radak explains why did the brothers all of a sudden start talking now? Until now, they were speaking with interpreters. The interpreter walked out of the room. The brothers never dreamt that Yosef understands Hebrew. So the brothers now started talking openly between themselves. They did know, like we're going to learn, that Yosef understood what they were talking about. They thought Yosef didn't know Hebrew. There's no interpreter, because the discussion between them and Yosef was over. Mm-hmm. So the interpreter walked out of the room. Now the brothers are left between themselves. Obviously Yosef's in the room, but they're talking, and they can talk to themselves in Hebrew, you know, that we're sinful. Asher ha'inu, that we saw, tzaras nafshi, the pain of his soul, of Yosef's soul, v'schanana elenu, when he prayed to us, when he begged us, V'lei shemano, we didn't hear. Alkein bo aleinu atzor azeis. That's why this sin, this problem has come before us. Why? In other words, the brothers looked, and the question is, they couldn't find any other sins. The answer is no, they couldn't. They did nothing, they were tzaddikim. These brothers are looking into themselves, what is causing this to happen? So the brothers said, we're sinful, we taka did something wrong. That was the only thing they were able to do wrong. The lesson over here is another deep lesson. When something bad happens to a person, the first thing they do is blame. They blame God, they blame somebody else, they blame whoever it is. Something happens, they blame their spouses, their kids, their parents. Everybody blames everybody else. The Shvatim blamed nobody. They looked into themselves and they said, this problem is coming because we're guilty. We deserve it. That's what the brothers are saying. They didn't blame one another. Reuven over here says, I told you, you know, and you didn't listen. Okay? But the brothers first, between themselves, they didn't blame anybody. They didn't say, who did they? They only blamed themselves.
But what for the blame is that? Because they didn't...
They said that...
Not because they sell Yosef. Only because they didn't listen to his begging.
That's where I was going to come to that. The Mefarshim say, number one, it's Midah Keneged Midah. They threw Yosef into the pit. Yosef threw them into prison, which was a pit. Okay? But... The Magidim, the preachers, Jewish preachers, use this pasuk with an interesting thing. The brothers did not say over here that we are guilty for throwing him into the pit or for selling him. Mm-hmm. What are they saying in this pasuk? We didn't hear his screams when he screamed. Think about it. It's an unbelievable thing. The brothers didn't say, we're guilty because we wanted to kill him and throw him into the pit and sold him as a slave. What did the brothers say? Ashereinu tzadas nafshi, we saw his suffering when he cried out to us and we didn't do anything about it. That is worse
than killing him.
They didn't kill him, they wanted to kill him. Or selling him as a slave.
This is worse because he suffered when they didn't the tension of suffering.
It's the callousness that they didn't care when somebody screamed.
Meaning he screamed from the pit or different screams?
Well, the whole time. The whole time.
As if you're hard-hearted and you don't listen to somebody...
It's worse. They didn't kill him. I mean, worse than selling him as a slave.
Besides, he was a kid. He was 17 years old.
Right.
How old was his oldest brother at the time? Yehuda.
I'd say 6 years older. 7 years older. Don't forget, he had different wives, Yaakov. So the kids were born not... they weren't all a year apart, you know. But whatever. I mean, it's a very interesting thing. In Torah approach, there's certain things that seemingly are not as bad as something else, but Torah makes them worse. Like the Torah says, why are you standing in the middle, neither here nor there? If you want to go serve the idols, go serve the idols. If you want to go serve God, serve God. Why are you in the middle? Which implies that being in the middle, indecisive, is worse than going to worship idols. And the same thing over here, the Pasuk is saying, what is the guilt that a Jewish kid is screaming and you don't hear him? That's worse than everything else. Because that shows a complete lack of Jewish compassion, which is the Jewish trait of compassion. And the Rebbe uses this as a concept when a Jewish soul is screaming out, talk to me about Yiddishkeit. You know, teach me about Yiddishkeit. And you don't listen to him, terrible things can happen from it.
Your soul?
Your soul, his soul, my soul, their soul. What's the difference?
How do you know if somebody else's soul is screaming about Yiddishkeit?
Every soul screams. Every soul screams about Yiddishkeit. But he said, Alkein bar leinat tzara zeis. That's why we have this tzara. Measure for measure. And the Radak Taka learns from this, that when a person sins, what you have to do is look into yourself and find out what's causing it to happen. Okay.